Hi, we are the ASM Behind the Scenes podcast. My name is Jin Yao.
I'm Ximena.
And I'm Sergio. We're three seniors at ASM.
In this podcast, we will explore the lives of upper school staff members and alumni with the hopes of bringing you fun stories about high school, college, and life in general.
We'll be releasing an episode every week on Fridays.
If you have any cool ideas for future episodes, feel free to email s23142@asmadrid.es. But before further ado, let's get into it.
Welcome to our second episode. Our second guest is Mr. Bolster, the upper school director.
Thank you so much for coming. We're going to ask you some questions about your high school experience.
So our first question is, what is your best high school or college memory, if you can kind of tell us?
Firstly, thank you for the opportunity to have a conversation with you. I will be honest, high school probably wasn't something that I was very much into when I was a teenager. I didn't do very well in high school for whatever reasons. I wasn't very engaged, and I spent most of my time, I think the thing that kept me in high school was the fact that I loved playing sports and loved playing rugby. Mm-hmm. And it was very much a rugby sporty kind of school. Mm-hmm. Probably the moment that I would remember the most would have been one of my coaches who required me. So when I was in school, you didn't have college counselors, for instance. Yeah. So you kind of just went to national universities and found your way, and you did your exams, external exams, etc. Mm-hmm. And the school used to hold a thing on a Saturday morning where if you didn't, or if you wanted to apply to college, because not everybody in the school that I went to applied to college, if you wanted to apply to college or university, you came that morning and everybody filled out the standardized form, kind of like the Irish mm-hmm. Common App or the Irish UCAS form.
Yeah.
So you all filled out in a big room and somebody gave you directions of how to do it. And my rugby coach at the time, because I wasn't planning to apply to college, mm-hmm. And my rugby coach at the time told me that I should be applying to college. And I said, well, I don't really like school or academics a whole lot. So he said, yeah, but you might not like it yet. So he told me that I wasn't going to play the following week unless I turned up and did the... Okay. And I remember the morning I said, oh, well, I'll just fill out the form. And the morning I turned up to fill out the form, he was there. Mm. So he was making sure I turned up. So I filled out the forms to apply to technical colleges because he kind of talked me around to doing it. And and that's how I ended up going to college and stuff like that. So I would say in terms of a memory that was impactful for me, it would have been the fact that somebody just kind of metaphorically put their arm around you and said, no, you probably should apply to college.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So that's kind of one memory. I've got a whole lot of ones that I don't like. But my school wasn't a bad school or anything. I don't want that to be the impression. But, one of the things I think that's interesting is kind of like about the time you're 18, you're supposed to be ready to do all these things, and we're all supposed to be ready to graduate, and we're all supposed to be ready to go to college, and we're all supposed to be ready to do external exams or whatever exams, mm-hmm. here IB exams, for instance, when you're like this 17, 18 year old.
Yeah, it's like
who's the guy, I can't remember his first name, Robinson, he did a lot of TED Talks about mm-hmm. education, and he kind of said that we're being defined by our date of manufacture.
Yeah.
And we're all different, right?
Mm, exactly.
So I wasn't really, at the time I was 18, I wasn't where other 18-year-olds were. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was, say, I went to technical college for 2 years, which is a bit like they say in the US, going to community college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I used that qualification to apply to university. Mm-hmm. So I started my university career when I was 20. Mm-hmm. And I was ready then.
Yeah, that's good. Know? Yeah, I honestly think that like society or like high school in general puts so much pressure on going to college, and then it just stresses a lot of people out. And honestly, it's just
it's true. And I think when you go to schools, like I've spent nearly 25 years now in schools just like ASM, mm-hmm. and when you go to schools like this, there's even more pressure because everybody is applying to a college, and everybody feels they need to. And I think at this time when people are starting to get some of their decisions, how we talk about that is important, right? Because for every one person that's got a great decision and a great offer, somebody else hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And trying to remember that,
it's hard.
There's someone across the way in the room who's listening to your conversation who has exactly the opposite emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it is, there is a pressure, and I think it's great. I think going to college is fantastic. It changed my life. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, just kind of, if we could all step back and say, you know, when are we ready to go? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to take another year in school? Is it okay to have a really productive gap year where you kind of mm-hmm. maybe do a few courses that might give you an idea what you might want to study, or maybe you go and you do something service orientated or whatever it is, and you know, mm-hmm.
yeah.
every 18-year-old isn't the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think especially now, especially at schools like ASM, where all the parents have gone to college and they've received an education, so they expect their kids to be better.
Yeah.
And that's like the family pressure that we get.
Yeah, that's true, and I've seen it in the three international schools that I've been in over the last 20 plus years have all been very similar. They've all been US high school diploma
mm-hmm.
Schools IB. And graduations mm-hmm. with an IB program.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all had similar parental and family backgrounds.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
basically most of them had gone to college, and college had been a really important part of their success. And they want it for their kids, and they're right. They're
yeah.
not wrong.
Yeah, they want the best for them.
Yeah, and
yeah.
almost every parent does is from a place of love.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I think, and I'm probably guilty as well as a parent, time for it, because we can sometimes narrow our view of what success and happiness would be for somebody else, and that's somebody else being our child.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we try to. It's difficult, but we're trying more and more to say to parents and to kids that this process that really kicks off in grade 11 and you're thinking about college and all this stuff, you've really got to empower the student, the child.
Yeah.
You've got to empower them. Give advice, listen, but empower them, because it's ultimately their journey. And I know that when I went to university, I met some of my best friends that I have now. I met, you know, it just, I have so many happy memories of college. And how I grew in college and how I became independent in college.
Yeah.
That I know it can be a powerful thing. But so can somebody who wants to, you know, there's more and more people of your generation that have opportunities that don't have college attached to them. You know? And I'm not talking about the, you know, the odd YouTuber who's made it here. That's few and far between. But there are lots more opportunities, and I think there's lots more opportunities for online learning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more opportunities for gap years and all these things.
Exactly.
So I think standing back and giving the kid space,
mm-hmm.
the young adult
space. And also I feel like a lot of times when they rush you to apply to college, it's like, you're only 17, like you still need to learn about yourself as
mm-hmm.
a person and things like that. And like a lot
Absolutely.
Of times, like for example, if you're getting rejected from a college, a lot of times it's like, it makes you feel like, wait, like, am I a bad person? Or like, not a bad person, but I feel like colleges, it's just such a, like, objective kind of reasoning that they have to accepting people. And so it's like,
Because
they
don't
like,
know you.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't get a clue who
you are. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, a lot of times it's like, even if you're not going to college, it doesn't mean that you're like a bad person or anything.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like strengths and things like that.
And also I think where you go, you know, if I ask, in any school I've been in, if I ask 20 parents to give me their top 10 US and European universities,
because mm-hmm.
that's where the majority of our students go, to Europe, UK and US,
mm-hmm.
right? If I ask them to get the top 10, I'd probably get 80% overlap
mm-hmm.
or 70% overlap on what those names are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about a lot of those schools taking a couple of thousand kids a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about how many kids, even just in private school education,
you
think of how many thousands of kids around the world, hundreds of thousands of kids around the world that like yourselves at the same time applying to college. If those places were, and I'm not saying they're not great, they are, but if they were the only way to success and happiness, then, you know, statistically 99.98% of everybody who applies to college is unhappy
mm-hmm.
and unsuccessful, because you can't all fit there.
Yeah.
You know, so I think an open mind is really important,
mm-hmm.
and it takes the stress out of it for students if we all have, including students, an open mind about what's a good college for you.
A lot of seniors are also very worried about what's going to be like in college. So what would you say, how different would you say your college experience was from high school?
Well, mine was night and day, but My sort of technical college for the first 2 years wasn't really that much different, because it was still small classes, a small school, not much bigger than where I'd gone to high school, or maybe a bit bigger, but not much bigger. So I guess it wasn't, that wasn't, it was a change, and it was a bit more grown up, but it was still really being spoon-fed. I remember when I met two guys, this was back in Ireland, this is in 1992. Okay. What do you mean, wow? No,
it's like middle ages. We weren't born yet.
Come on, you know, whatever. Yeah, you're young. Jeez, wow. From 1990 to 92, which is still quite modern.
That's good. Just subtext.
I was there in community college, and I met two other guys there, Irish guys there, and the two of us then decided that we would go off to university together. So we could use the community college to skip the first year of university.
Yeah.
And we went from Ireland to England to university for financial reasons, because it was actually cheaper, even though we were Irish.
Okay. So
at the time it was, it's not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
So we went over there to do a medical physics degree.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of us that applied medical physics degrees, we started, kind of lost contact with Pat, the one of the three of us, but myself and Bernard are still very, very close friends. And Bernard's a typical example of this journey. Bernard left high school with not much in terms of, he obviously underperformed academically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he went to this technical college with me, and he was the person who said, oh, I'm going on a pathway to a degree. I thought I was just going to technical college for 2 years because I had no other opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, you can do physics and electronics, or you can do marine biology, and I wasn't into marine biology. I don't remember applying for marine biology. I'm sure somebody filled out a form with my mom. I don't know. Somebody filled something out. I ended up with an offer for that.
Oh,
but I wouldn't do
so
this.
Funny.
Yeah, this isn't exactly the greatest strategy for applying to college, right? But he was going to go to university, and he was adamant, so I kind of did it because he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for physics and medical technology because he was applying for physics. Well, that's literally how I did it. It's not, I'm not saying this is how you apply to college, right?
No, this is not how you apply to college.
It's just kind of,
I got lucky.
It kind of reflects the sort of pressures that you have. And like,
but he went on to get his degree with me. The two of us got a degree in England. And then he went on to do a PhD. And he now is the president of research and development for all of Europe, for a multinational company. So, you know, everyone can get there, you know? Mm-hmm. And where I am right now, I feel really lucky, because I remember, maybe it's just teenage ego or whatever, but I remember I had some great teachers, and I had teachers that I wasn't really keen on. And I remember I used to always think to myself, oh, I bet I could do that better if I just knew the content. I bet I could teach that better than you're doing right now. And I think that kind of stuck in my head, and that's why I started going into teaching. But the experience of university was very different, coming back to what you asked. Because when I went from the community college, which we were still kind of spoon-fed, and I went to the university, I remember our first lecture, there were 300 people or so inside the lecture theatre, and somebody was doing some advanced calculus, and I was sitting there and I had no clue what's happening.
Yeah.
And I looked over at my mate Bernard, and he was...
That's all of us right now.
Yeah, well, he was just thinking, we're going to the library. we gotta relearn this, because no one taught us this stuff before. So so I was kind of a bit out of my depth at that stage. But you adapt, I think.
Yeah.
But they do leave you a lot to your own devices. And it's one of the reasons why I think it's important that high school students advocate for themselves with their teachers here. When you're talking about, you know, assessment feedback you get, that you advocate for yourself in terms of trying to understand why it's that level of achievement and what you can do to improve.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a relationship issue with the teacher, it's really important that you have, because, you know, you're going off to college, and if you have some conflict with somebody or with a professor or what you're learning or whatever it is, you have some challenges, you have to be able to advocate for yourself, because they're not going to talk to your parents.
Exactly.
They're just not. They are when they want them to be.
Yeah.
That's about it.
We're going to be moving on to our surprise question time.
Nice.
I think, I don't know what you're expecting, but...
I don't know what I'm expecting.
Yeah. What advice do you think a wisdom tooth would have? You can take your time to answer.
What advice would a wisdom tooth have? Oh my god. What advice would a wisdom tooth have? Okay, let me try and...
Don't worry.
Right.
So, you can take
so,
it, yeah.
So a wisdom tooth normally has to be removed because a wisdom tooth has got no space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think a wisdom tooth would probably say, if everybody could just back off a little bit and give me some space to think, I could probably find my own way.
Yeah.
I think that's a great answer.
Yeah,
really
I wouldn't
know
how to answer
it.
I think I would answer that
saying like with no pain there's no gain or whatever, something like that. I don't know.
That's a bit obvious.
Yeah.
You're better than that.
I don't know. That's the thing that I would first think. But I like your
Let
answer.
Me ask you a question, so the same one for all of you. Mm-hmm. When you start university, how old will you be?
18.
Since
August.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you're starting university
She's
and
young.
You're turning 18. More
yeah.
Right. 18 since June. End of June.
Right.
18 since January. So pretty soon.
Yeah. So I still.
And that's
I
a big difference.
Would, yeah.
That's still a big difference.
Still got a long
yeah.
way into.
You know, turning 18 just when you start university is.
It's just interesting.
Like you're starting your 18th year. You're not.
Yeah.
You know, it's. If someone asked me if you could. If this could all happen again, because I think this whole podcast has been very much about that academic
yeah.
journey to college, which is grand. If you could organize all this again, it'd be great if you could just say everyone goes to school, everyone does their exams, everyone finishes, everyone gets their results. And then there's like a 6-month sort of hiatus where everybody can do. There are countries who have things where kids after they graduate do specific activities
yeah. mm-hmm.
and service, and it's all set up within the system and the culture.
Yeah.
But if you could do that, and you all, and university didn't start until, say, February,
mm-hmm.
everybody could grow a little bit more. You don't have to make conditional offers. You're not trying to chase that sort of dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit like you go shopping. Now you have your results. It's a bit like you have this much money in your wallet,
mm-hmm.
and here's where I can shop.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So here are my results, and here's where
yeah,
I can
go.
Yeah.
That's what they do in China.
That's what they do in China, right?
Yeah, but then your whole life depends on that one test, and it's even
yeah.
more pressure than we have.
Right.
Because you're studying for 12 years
yeah.
just for
so
that
yeah,
moment.
Depends.
And you have
yeah.
to do well that day. If not,
yeah,
you
that's
can't.
Tough.
Yeah.
But also, it's that idea that, you know, there's very little time between you guys finishing what is a challenging and rigorous few years, and then you jump right back into it again.
mm-hmm. Yep.
But I think we're...
I really like if everybody just got 6 months.
Yeah.
And in those 6 months, you do your applications.
Yeah. Like
you
just,
get your
just
offers. Perfect. You think about where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And off you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that question that we asked you, that's actually a question for, like, we're extracting this from specific
right.
universities that are using these questions. That's from the UChicago prompts.
Is
so
that?
There's students right now trying to answer that question for
okay,
their
yeah.
essays.
I observed a mock University of Cambridge
uh-huh.
University interview
yeah.
uh-huh. with an actual professor in their office. They were doing, I went over there for a visit, and they were setting up mock with their first year students
yeah.
so we could observe what those interviews look like, because
mm-hmm.
one of the things with Oxbridge is people always think, oh, that was a terrible, I couldn't answer any of the questions towards
yeah.
the end. That's usually a great interview for Oxbridge
yeah.
because if it's over quickly, they already decided you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes on for a while
yeah.
and you get harder and harder questions, it's because
they want to test you more.
Yeah.
They want to test you more, and they had all those sort of obscure kind of questions
yeah. Yeah.
and then they have some specific ones as well. They always threw in some obscure ones, and I remember one person asking, you know, how deep is the river something? I can't remember.
Yeah, or like
the River Nile or something, and the person's response was, well, it depends what part I have to walk across.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just a great little answer.
yeah.
You know.
Or like, how do you weigh a mountain? I think some of them were like, how do you weigh a mountain? Or like, how many cups of tea are drunk
yeah.
in
yeah.
England every day or whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
About half as many as are in.
Yeah.
Okay, and we also want to ask, why did you choose to become an opera school director? Or did you not choose to?
I can't say I chose to become, well, I did choose. I didn't choose to become this as like a career path. I chose, when I finished my degree in medical physics, I took a year out and I went back doing what I'd done on and off with one of my best friends in Ireland. As a farm, so I worked on a sheep farm in an abattoir.
Mm-hmm.
Abattoir is just a nice French word for a slaughterhouse. Right?
Okay.
So I used to do that with him in my holidays and stuff. And so I went back for a year to Ireland and I worked on his farm and tried to think what I wanted to do. And I kind of knew I wanted to go back to Teachers College, so I had to do another year then. So I went back to university, to Teachers College, trained to be a teacher. And then after 2 years in England teaching, I decided I'd go abroad. I was single. Go off, I go abroad, I could go wherever I wanted, and ended up in the Middle East and
mm-hmm.
had a family there, and then ended up in Brussels and ended up here. And it was in the midst of all that you know, when I was in Abu Dhabi, the upper school director and the upper school assistant director both left at the same year. So they wanted to bring in a new upper school director, but they wanted somebody internal to become the assistant. So at a relatively young age, I think I was 29 or 30, I became the assistant upper school director. Clearly without any skill set for the job. Clearly without enough physics. Experience. So it was a little bit of a, I don't know. They took a chance and I got lucky. So that's how that pathway started.
And do you think, would you have rather be a teacher or...
I think I miss...
Or a rugby player.
Yeah, or a rugby player.
I think now in my life, I'd be a professional golfer. Because I could travel around the world and ply my trade on beautiful courses, but I'm not a very good golfer, so I try. I miss the classroom piece because the impact I get to have is more organizational, structural, and cultural, and climate of school and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And... sometimes in my job, and I don't mind this, it comes to the job. Sometimes in my job, it's not always sitting down having these conversations, it's sitting down having more challenging conversations with teenagers and with their parents. And that can be
hard.
It can be hard, it can be a bit draining. It can, you know, sometimes it can be more negative than you'd want it to be. But so I miss the sort of impact I could have directly with kids who I'd have as IB physics kids for 2 years. Because you know what it's like, you build that relationship over 2 years with the teacher, and it's quite a special relationship and can be a really positive thing. So I kind of miss that, but that's why I try and find other ways to connect with the kids, because it's good for me that way. That's why I hand out trays in the lunch line, because when I hand out trays, I get to say hello, I get to have a nice lunch, you know?
So
these little things, you just find different ways. It's while you stand outside the gate this hard in the morning, because you can make a different connection. So I kind of miss the teaching bit, but I like what I do now. And if I try to go, I think I know what good teaching and learning looks like from a leadership point of view, but if I were to go into the classroom now, I don't think I'd be as good as any of the teachers you have.
I think teachers are underappreciated, because I've been the substitute for Orgisha.
I know, that's been tough, isn't it?
Man, it was tough. Like it was fun. It was, but it was just.
It's a difficult job. Yeah, it's a challenging job. You have to really love it to want to do it, especially if you do it for a long.
I wouldn't have that much patience.
And you did take time.
You'd be surprised.
You did take time to make this decision. So I feel like all the students should also like take their time to make their decision for college or even like for what they want
to
do.
And I think that would be like the most advice I could give to people is one. One I think is more that quote from Wooden was the coach where he said, "Don't worry about your reputation, worry about your character, because your character is who you are. Your reputation is what people think of you." And I think it's a difficult quote because you want to have a good reputation, but you don't get that by not having good character. So I think if you can focus on who you are and being a good person and thinking about your legacy on that day, I know it's a term I use all the time, but if you can just say, you know, was wherever I was that day a slightly better place because I was around, then you'll have a happy life. And I think that, and also taking your time. I don't think there is no hurry here, you know, there is no rush. I don't think people should waste their 20s or anything, their important years. But, you know, it's take your time to find out what you're really good at and what you're really enjoying. And just be open-minded.
That's good advice.
Well, you answered our last question.
Yeah, that was
a great. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for coming and
enjoying the chat.